Unit 3. Hat. Traditionally, whatever is worn on the head, whether or not it grows there naturally, is a sign of the mind beneath it. The hat, therefore, like the hair, expresses ideas and opinions. Since the head is one of the most vulnerable parts of the body, many hats also have a protective function, shielding their wearers from extremes of climate and from human aggression. The man's hat of the 19th and early 20th century, which was derived ultimately from the medieval helmet, protected its wearer both physically and psychologically. The heavy crown deflected blows. The brim shaded the face from strong sunlight and close scrutiny. The conventional shape expressed the conventionality of the mind it covered. The stiffer the hat in general, the higher the social class of its wearer, and or the more conventional his views. The aristocrat in his topper, the city man in his bowler, were literally hard-headed. The symbolically appropriate disadvantage of such hats was that they were easy to knock off if anyone dared to do so. Working men and boys, on the other hand, wore soft cloth caps, less formidable looking, but harder to remove. Their prestige, such as it was less easily damaged by direct assault. Women's hats, too, once had important symbolic meanings, though here social role rather than social status was uppermost. Throughout most of the 19th century, all respectable wives, widows, and spinsters wore not one but two symbolic head coverings. Except for young unmarried girls, an indoor cap of muslin or silk trimmed with lace and or ribbon was an essential part of the everyday costume. It was donned on arising and could be dispensed with only for formal evening entertainments. Usually, this cap was white, expressing the conventional purity and delicacy of the mind within. If the woman was in mourning, it might be black, more suitable as a container of sad thoughts, or trimmed with a black ribbon. When the middle-class woman left her house, even to walk in the garden, she put on a hat or bonnet over her cap if she wore one. She thus shielded her pure and private thoughts, covering them with an elaborate and conventional representation of contemporary public femininity. A well-dressed female who appeared out of doors without her hat, or indoors without a cap, if she was old enough to wear one, was assumed to be emotionally distracted, mentally disturbed, or of loose morals. By the 1890s, caps had been given up by all but the elderly or exceptionally prim. But men's and women's hats continued to flourish for the next half century, offering a remarkable variety of expressive form. In America, the hat was a status symbol of a special kind. These were the great years of European immigration. And as boatload after boatload of hatless peasants landed, those who wanted to make it plain that they were not themselves ignorant greenhorns, or that they were of a higher class origin than most immigrants, took care to wear hats.